Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
First time to Vibe, I know you're probably like, what in the world's going on? We don't have a clue what's going on. We're just kind of going with it. We're just enjoying Jesus, you know, and it's hard to quit singing about what God has done and is doing and will do in our lives, and it's hard to quit celebrating that, you know, and we shouldn't, so don't stop, so keep it going in your heart. Man, we're in this series we're calling Route 66, and we're going through the book of Romans, which is such an important book for our faith, for our relationship with God, for us as Christians, for Christianity in general. It's such an important, vital book. It's really like the Constitution is to the United States. It's such a foundational book for our faith, because there's so much doctrine, there's so much theology, there's so much practical instruction on how we are to live our lives, and so we're trying to go through it, and we have a limited amount of time. And I was actually working through the series through the end of the summer, and it's like I just kept adding weeks and weeks and weeks, and I was wanting to kind of end the series in August, and we're going to be going into September. It's just so much. There's things that I just feel like I can't not preach and not talk about. But we've been through now the first three chapters of the book of Romans, and we're going to jump over into chapter 6 and kind of where we've been in the book of Romans so far. Is let me give you kind of a recap, because as we look at chapter 6, we got to look at it in the context of chapters 1 through 4, and because Paul is explaining in chapters 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul's explaining the gospel, what that means, the good news. He's breaking that down for the believers there in the city of Rome and in the church there in Rome, and also for us. He's breaking it down. What does this thing mean? What is the gospel? What's the good news mean? What does it mean for what Jesus has done in our lives? And we've been made right, right? We don't measure up. We talked about that last week, and we fall short of God's glory, right? Romans 3:23. And so we don't measure up to the standard of holiness and righteousness that God gives us and who He is. And so we're always short, but God makes us right. He's the one that puts us in right standing with Himself through what Jesus has done for us. And it's all by grace, right? It's all by grace. It's nothing that you or I could do. We can't make up enough good for the bad that we've done. We can't undo the sin in our lives, because it's not just about the actions. It's not just about the things that we do. It's a sinful nature. It's something that's in us. It has to be changed. It has to be transformed. So chapters 5 through 8, Paul digs deeper into explaining the gospel, and we'll look into those in the next several weeks. Next week we'll start chapter 8, and we're actually going to spend about probably 7 or 8 weeks in chapter 8. But the end of chapter 5, Paul compares Adam, who was the first human. He's the one who messed everything up. He's the one that got us into this situation, right? And because of his sin, because of that initial sin, every one of us spiritually, our DNA is broken, and we're born with this sinful nature. And so Paul is comparing this Adam, this first person who screwed everything up, to Jesus, the one who comes and fixes the problem, right? He says that what Adam messed up, Jesus more than made right. He more than fixed it. What Adam put wrong, Jesus not only takes us back to where we started, but He takes us even further than where we could go. It's like this. It's like if Adam was given a bank account and said, "Hey, you need to you got to make $10,000." Instead, Adam loses the $10,000 and he goes into the negative millions of dollars. And Jesus inherits this bank account. And not only does he replace the deficit of the millions of dollars, but he takes the bank account further than anyone could ever go. He makes it right. He makes it even more than right. It's almost another example is like if Adam is placed in Kansas and he's told to make his way to New York, and instead Adam goes west and he goes to California, and Jesus comes on the scene to fix it, and he not only takes us back to Kansas, and not only does he go to New York, but he takes us even further around the world. He takes us further than we can go. He fixes this thing and does it even way more than what we could. You get the point, right? Adam was given life. He was given life at creation, and he was told to multiply it. Instead, he opened the floodgates of death. And Jesus came into the world, a world that was ruled by death, and he brought us to life. And not just get along with life, not just kind of getting by, but he came to bring us to life, life to the fullest, John chapter 10 says. And so that's who we're talking about today. See, Jesus more than made right what Adam made wrong. And he did all this by grace, unearned favor. God did this for us. He did it for us. And so Christianity is not based on what you can do or what I can do. We talked about that last week. You know, if you're one of those rule followers, if you really are good at keeping the rules, that's great. But it's not about what you can do. It's about what he has done for us, right? Now, don't think for a minute that, okay, that means I can just live any way I want, right? I can just do whatever I want because Jesus made it right. We're going to talk about that today. That's where Romans chapter 6 is really important. There's really two parts to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to break it down. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 14 is the first part. Let's read it real quick. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. That's what we just said, right? Just because, like, oh, wow, Jesus made it right. It's not about what I have done or can do. It's about what Jesus has done. So that means I could just do whatever I want, right? And Paul says, no, don't even think that. Should we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? That we just see more grace and we just keep sinning? No. No, by no means. And I love this, what he says in verse 2. He says, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Listen, I'm not talking to just people who have a belief in Jesus, who believe that, I believe Jesus lived and died. I believe, you know, some of the things the Bible says. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who have faith and trust in what Jesus has done. I'm talking to those this morning who you have a relationship with God. Listen, I'm talking to you this morning. Why would you want to continue to sin? We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? How can we live in it any longer? So the first part of Romans chapter 6, I guess we could title it Sin No More, right? Sin No More. We are those who have died to sin, so how can we live in it any longer? You are freed from sin. You are freed from sin. Now, when I first started following Jesus, I'll be honest with you, I gave my heart to Jesus because I didn't want to go to hell. You know, in my mind, it was the option of heaven and hell. And so I was like, heaven yes, hell no, right? I didn't want to go to hell. And so I chose Jesus. And it was kind of like fire insurance, right? I mean, like, that was, you know, I didn't want to go there. So I got the insurance. And we're not just freed from the penalty of sin. I remember, I mean, very clearly, it's very vivid for me. You know, I had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame before I came into a relationship with Jesus, and I think most people do. If you don't, what you've done is you've suppressed it so much, and you've allowed your conscience to become jaded and hardened. And I feel sorry for you if you're in that situation. It's a bad place to be because you pretty much you're capable of a lot of stuff when you get to that point. But I think most of us come in through life and we have a lot of guilt and a lot of shame that we carry. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do with the baggage of it. But it was there, and I tried to cover it up. I tried to do all kinds of things so that nobody would know about it. I certainly didn't tell anybody about it. But when I came to Jesus, I was relieved of the penalty of sin, and I felt that the weight of that lifted from my shoulders, and I just felt free because I'm no longer under this sentence of sin and this penalty of sin. Listen, we're not just freed from the penalty, but we're also freed from the power of sin. When you put your faith and your trust in God and you accepted what Jesus did on the cross for you as a payment for your sins, you were not just freed from the penalty of sin. It wasn't just that you, hey, I'm not going to hell now, but you were freed from the power of sin. We are those who've died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We're freed from the power and the penalty. See, we're now in right standing. You don't have to sin anymore. Did you hear me? You don't have to sin anymore. You're a new creation. You don't have to look at that stuff anymore on the internet. You don't have to say that stuff anymore that you're used to saying. You don't have to drink, smoke, or eat that stuff. You don't have to think the stuff that you've thought before. You're free. You're free not just from the penalty, but from the power of sin. You and I have been set free. Verse 3, Paul goes on to say, he says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's powerful. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Verse 11, this is an important verse. In the same way, all that stuff we just read, in the same way, he's talking to us, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourself dead to sin. You've been freed from the penalty. I don't have to fear hell. And there was a point in my relationship with God where I realized that it wasn't about heaven and hell anymore. That had already been solved. But there was something God wanted for me to realize and understand, that I wasn't just freed from the fear of hell. I was freed from the power of sin. And the things that I had been doing, the things that I had been used to doing, I was free from that stuff. I didn't have to sin anymore. I didn't have to talk the way that I talked anymore. I mean, my vocabulary, it changed overnight. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, you know, the real true test of your vocabulary has been kind of sanctified and is smash your finger with a hammer, stub your toe at night, right, when you're going through the house with no light. If nothing bad comes out, you're like, the tongue is under control, right? But things changed. Because I realized I didn't have to sin anymore. I didn't have to think like that anymore. I didn't have to look at that stuff anymore. I didn't have to do the things that I had been doing for so long. And Paul gives this illustration and this explanation of baptism. I just want to real quick say something about baptism, because I think sometimes baptism is like a side note in our relationship with Jesus. And they're like, well, I haven't been baptized, but, you know, do you really need to do that? Because Jesus saves us. And, you know, baptism is such an important part. It's a statement of our faith. And Paul goes in, he explains in depth the importance of baptism. It's not that it saves us, but it's a statement of our faith. And I believe there's something spiritual that does happen in our lives as we honor the Lord and as we walk in obedience. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. And the baptism represents that death, the burial, and the resurrection. You're dead to sin, right? So here's the big question. And maybe you're wondering this in the back of your mind. Then why do we still sin? If I'm free from the power of sin and I don't have to sin anymore, then why do I do it? Why do you do it? See, let's read verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. There's a saying that goes, old habits die hard. And I guess, in a way, that's true. But Paul gives it a little bit of a, Here's the spiritual and the biblical spin on that phrase, is that the parts or the members of our body still have the old pattern of sin. See, you trained your eyes to look at those things, right? I remember, you know, my brothers, I'm the youngest of four boys. And my brothers thought it was their duty, I guess, as older brothers to teach me about sexual things. And so they got me into pornography when I was really, really young. And they got me started, but I trained myself. I trained my eyes to look at those things. You've trained yourself. You've trained your tongue to say the things. You've trained your hands and your heart and your feet and your mouth. And you've trained yourself, right? We've trained ourselves. We've trained our feet to go places. And so, old habits die hard. The parts or members of our body still have that pattern of sin ingrained in them. And we have to choose to not go there anymore. We have to choose to not say that anymore. We have to choose to not smoke, eat, drink, whatever that anymore. We have to choose to do something different, to break the pattern of the old sinful actions that are ingrained in the members of our bodies. The second part of chapter 6, first part is basically sin no more. The second part, if we can break it down like this, is choose your master. Choose who you will serve. Now, imagine with me for a second if I worked as a slave at Vic's house. And I was born into it, you know, and I just, whatever he commands, I do. I don't ask any questions. I was just, you know, I was born into this. And my life is determined by what he tells me to do, right? His voice is ingrained in me. He tells me to feed the chickens, which he doesn't have any chickens. But feed the chickens, he would if I was a slave. Milk the cows, cut the grass, clean the pool, whatever, you know. But there's this neighbor, Jimmy, who sees this. And he wants to do something about it. And so he saves up his money and he buys my freedom. And he says to me, "You're free from Vic. Vic doesn't own you anymore. You're free. I don't own you. I've given you your freedom." He's like, "You could do anything. You can go anywhere." He said, I know your skill set. You're very skilled. And I've got an apartment in my house. You can live there and you can work at my, you know, on my property. I'll pay you. You know, would you be interested in that?" And I'm like, "Yes, yeah, let's do that. That's like an easy fit. You know, I don't have to go anywhere." And I just move right into the apartment. And so I do that. Now, Vic has no authority over me, but he still hollers out orders. And so one day I'm cutting grass and I hear Vic say, "Hey, cut my grass." And his voice just grips me. It grips me because it was ingrained in me. And so I find my body beginning to move towards his yard. And I'm going to cut his grass because that's what I've always done. It was ingrained in me. And I immediately forget that I'm not Vic's slave anymore. I've been freed. See, this is the situation that we find ourselves in every day when it comes to sin. You and I are going to serve somebody. We're going to serve somebody. We either serve sin that leads to death or we serve grace that leads to life. It's so easy for us to forget that we're free. When sin starts to call our name and starts to call us out, say, hey, remember, this is what you used to do. This is what you used to say. This is where you used to go. Come on. We forget. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been freed. I think somebody needs to hear that this morning, that, man, you've been set free. Don't forget that. Don't forget that your freedom was purchased by the blood of Jesus. The whole terminology, redeemed, ransomed, those biblical terms, they have deep meaning. We really have been bought back. Our freedom was purchased. And you're going to serve somebody. You can either serve sin or you can serve grace. Verse 15, Paul goes on to say, "What then shall we say?" "What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. "Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness." Verse 21, powerful. "What benefit," this is a good question for all, "what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of?" When I read that verse, it makes me think back. You know, I'm like, what benefit? And I'm thinking about relationships. I'm thinking about really stupid choices. And I'm thinking, nothing. I mean, I can't even find, you know, was sin pleasurable for a little while? Yeah. I mean, come on, let's be real with each other. But did I reap any benefit? Is there any kind of benefit in my life from the things that I was involved in, the sin that I was involved in my life? Is there anything, any benefit that you can say, hey, yeah, there's this benefit? No, there's no benefit. There's no benefit from that stuff, especially the stuff that we're now ashamed of. Those things, Paul says, result in death. Verse 22, but now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Some people will argue Christianity against it. You know, and some people seem to have all their at least a good bit of information. They come up with a really good argument. And maybe you've encountered people like that and you feel like, I don't know how to talk to those people. I don't have all the biblical knowledge that they seem to have. And I don't know, you know, how to really talk to them. You know, it's okay. Let me give you just a rebuttal, you know, something that, you know, that you can kind of hang on to, that if you feel like someone's, you know, kind of challenging your faith, which that's not a bad thing. Your faith needs to be challenged and tested because, you know, you need to dig deeper and know what you believe. But if you feel like you don't know what to say, here's the deal. You know, you can say to them, you know what, if you're right, then what do I miss out on? Divorce, addiction, debt. I mean, go down the list. What are the things that I miss out on? But if I'm right, then what do you miss out on? It's a big difference. You may feel like, yeah, I don't have all the answers, but what is it that you've benefited from those things, right? Nothing. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. I'll tell you what I've benefited from following Jesus. For the person who maybe would say to me, you know, wow, you're stupid, you know, your faith, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. Here's what I've benefited. I've been married 30 years to a beautiful woman who loves Jesus. I've experienced so much joy and so much life because of that. I wouldn't be in a 30-year relationship if it wasn't for Jesus. I'm guaranteeing that. I've got beautiful children and beautiful grandchildren. I just go down the list. I have so many great friends. I'm a part of a group, a church, a family where you guys are, you're family, you know. That's a benefit of being a Christian. And I could just keep on and on and on. And what did I lose out on? A few parties, a few one-night stands, a lot of heartache. Come on, it doesn't even compare, right? And that's what Paul's saying. It doesn't compare. Listen, you've been freed not just from the penalty of sin. You've been freed from the power of sin. You've been freed from the power of sin. Verse 23. This is part of that Romans road that we were talking about, that if you're talking to someone about Jesus and you're kind of trying to, you know, help them, lead them into a relationship with the Lord, and Romans 3:23 is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one measures up. No one is able to stand before God on their own, you know. And Romans 6:23 is that next verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, none of us are righteous. Nobody can come to God and say, look, here's all the good things I've done, let me in. Nobody can do that. And not only that, but the wages of our sin is death, and we're bankrupt. We're in a bad situation. We're in that situation that I talked about where Adam not only took our bank account to zero, he went millions into the negative. We're in over our head in debt because of that spiritual DNA, that sinful nature that's been passed down to us. So we inherited that debt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So real quick, and I know we're running out of time, real quick, just some practical steps, some things that I think are important to do that kind of, you know, this we could pull out of this chapter is, one, we need to learn how to listen to the right voice. We need to learn to listen to the right voice. Because as you go through life, it's real easy to forget that you have been freed. See, when sin starts calling your name, when sin starts barking out orders and say, yo, you need to do this. This is what we've always done. You need to look at this. You need to go there. You need to react this way. This is how we always reacted. I'm your master. And when you start to hear sin bark out orders, you got to be reminded, that's not the voice I'm listening to. I'm not listening to that voice. But I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't bark out orders at us. He doesn't demand things of us. Sometimes I wish he did. Because I'm a little thick. Any other thick people? But he whispers. He whispers. Don't do that. Huh? Go over here. If we're waiting for this barking out of orders, you're gonna be waiting a long time. But if you listen, if you tune in, and you put your ear to the ground, and you just listen, God, I want to hear you. I need to hear you clearly today. I need to hear your voice. Learn to listen to the right voice. And then the second thing we need to do is the word that's translated in the NIV is a offer, but the better word is consecrate. The better word it means something a little different sometimes in our context, you know. But consecrate, set apart the parts of your body, the members of your body, those things that have been trained and ingrained in sin and have the residue of our sinful nature still in them that seem to be our habits, right? Consecrate those things, whether it's your mouth or whether it's your hands or your mind or your feet, your heart, whatever it is, consecrate it. Set it apart. Offer it to God constantly, every day. God, today I'm offering you, I'm consecrating to you my mind. Today I'm consecrating my tongue, my mouth, because it seems to always get me in trouble. Today I'm consecrating my feet because I seem to always wander into places that I'm not supposed to and just get me into trouble. But consecrate the parts of your body, the members of your body. Set them apart. Would you stand with me? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's payday. We're free. Let's live like free people. Amen? Let's live like we're free. Free from the power of sin. We don't have to sin anymore. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you for setting me free. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, hey, Randy, I'm not where I need to be with God, and I want to be. I would love to pray for you if you just let me just for a second. Father, I pray for that person or people that are realizing they're not where they need to be with you, and they want to be, and they don't know how to get to that place where they're right with you. And maybe it seems like it's such a far distance, or there's such a big gap, and it's from where they are now and where they see themselves as they're wanting to be. And I totally get that. That's where we all have been there. We all have stood at that huge place, that huge, I don't know what to call it, but just that cavern, the distance between where we are now and where you want us to be. And we've all been there. But I know that it's nothing that they can do to get them across. It's nothing that in and of themselves, except for trusting you, except for receiving what you've already done. You've provided a way. And so I pray that faith would just rise up in their hearts right now. Faith to trust you, to trust what you've done. No matter what they've done, no matter how bad it may seem, God, your grace is not limited. And so I pray that faith would just rise up in their hearts. With your head still bowed, your eyes closed, can I ask you to just be a little bolder, maybe? If that was you, if that was you that I was talking about, you say, Randy, I want to be in a right relationship with God. I want to be in the right place with God. Would you pray with me? I would love to pray with you and just lead you in a simple prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to pray a prayer with you right where you're at. I'm going to stay up here. But if that's you, would you just slip up your hand? No one's looking around. Just me, you, God. You say, I want to be in a right relationship with God. Anyone else? I want to be in the right place, in the right relationship with God. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me? Say, Father, I accept what you have provided for me in Jesus. I accept his death, his burial, his resurrection. I receive it for my life. And I receive that freedom today, not just from the penalty of sin, not just keeping me from hell, but I receive today the freedom from the power of sin so that I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to do the things that I've used to do before. Let that be your prayer. Let that come from your heart. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.